Of course he's right. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Here's Steve.
The president tweeting out here just a short time ago that no money was paid to North Korea for Otto Warmbier. Not $2 million, not anything else. This is not the Obama administration that paid $1.8 billion for four hostages or gave five terrorist hostages plus, who soon went back to battle for traitor Sergeant Bergdahl. The response comes to a Washington Post report that North Korea presented the United States envoy a bill for $2 million to cover the hospital care of a comatose American, Otto Warmbier. Of course, Warmbier, when shipped back to the United States, was in a coma. He went to North Korea as a college kid on vacation, didn't respect the danger he was dealing with, ended up being arrested, tossed into prison, and then beaten to death or whatever. He came home in a coma, died a short time after his return. But the U.S. government received a $2 million hospital bill from the North Korean government for the care of Warmbier. He fell into a coma. Nobody seems to know why. I say he was beaten to death, but, you know, it could have been something else. Who knows? Truth serum. Whatever it was. Pyongyang insisted the U.S. envoy send to retrieve University of Virginia student sign a pledge to pay the bill before allowing Warmbier's comatose body to return to the United States. Citing two people familiar with the situation, the Washington Post reporting the envoy signed an agreement to pay the medical bill on instructions from President Trump. However, a source told Fox News the U.S. did not pay any money to North Korea, and that's what the president just tweeted out. No, we didn't pay anything. They may have signed the deal, but they needed to get him out of there to see if they could save his life. They couldn't. He died. And then, of course, the president went on to meet with Kim Jong-un on two separate occasions and summits, and then Kim Jong-un just a couple of days ago, meeting with Vladimir Putin as he develops relationships in other places as well. But the White House and Sarah Sanders said, we do not comment on hostage negotiations, which is why they've been so successful during this administration, the hostage negotiator in chief. That's what the president also just put out. President Trump is the greatest hostage negotiator that I know of in the history of the United States. 20 hostages, many in impossible circumstances, have been released in the last 2 years. No money was paid, so said the chief hostage negotiator for the United States. And Trump tweeted that out as well. So, you know, whatever we're doing in that regard is working. With Warmbier, no money was paid. He was 21, fell into a coma for unknown reasons. While in custody, he was held in that condition for an additional 17 months. North Korean officials didn't tell Americans until June of 17 that he had been unconscious the entire time. He died less than a week after he returned to the U.S. the same month. After hearing his parents' voices, he knew he was back home, and he died. North Korea has continued to deny that Warmbier was tortured, but I'm pretty sure a healthy college kid, 21 years of age, didn't just mysteriously fall into a coma without reason. I'm just going to go and say that didn't happen. That didn't happen. You know it, and so do I. So, there you go. We did not pay the $2 million. We may have said we were going to. Hey, we're going to do this. Gotcha. Anyhow. One thing I missed about the Joe Biden conversation thus far is this, and it's important. And that is he picked up a coveted endorsement yesterday. Shortly after making his announcement to run for president, Joe Biden picked up a very coveted endorsement for his run for the White House, and that came from Michael Avenatti. You heard me right. The most coveted endorsement Biden received Thursday came from Democratic frontrunner and savior of the Republic, Michael Avenatti. The 2018 Free Beacon Man of the Year, announcing via Twitter his enthusiastic support for Joe Biden, who offers Dems the very best chance in 2020. Of course, Avenatti was a sleazeball porn lawyer. He was on CNN like daily and hourly when he was attacking Donald Trump, and he represented Stormy Daniels, one of the women that Donald Trump paid money to keep him quiet because he had allegedly had some sort of sexual tryst with them. Whether he did or didn't, I don't know, and I don't care. But Michael Avenatti is now facing criminal and civil cases all over the country for stealing money. One of those from a paraplegic. Another from an NBA star. Yeah, he apparently stole a lot of money. His once stellar reputation among Democrats and members of the media, fueled by the celebrity attorney's baseless accusation against Donald Trump and, of course, prominent conservatives like Brett Kavanaugh. I forgot, he also smeared Brett Kavanaugh without anything behind it. He's been indicted on multiple criminal charges. But the election cycle is still young. Avenatti's a fighter, so let's not dismiss him politically altogether quite yet. I mean, he might come back, right? I mean, Avenatti could come back. He could find another hooker to represent that might get him some notoriety. You know, whatever it takes, Michael. And the problem is, I don't think Avenatti's going to be of much use come November 2020, because I'm pretty sure by then he could be in prison. And he won't be making bail. Yeah, he won't be making bail. He could be right back in prison anyhow. The president's approval ratings bouncing back to 50%. It took a bit of a hit right after the Mueller report was released and the media was trying to chew it up and make something that it wasn't. But at the end of the day, no collusion, no conspiracy, and nobody cares anymore in large part. People have lives to live and things to do. And as a result of that, his popularity has bumped to 50%, according to Rasmussen. It's there. It's doing better. It's rebounding. And I'm telling you that it's going to be difficult for any of these Dems to crack that deal. What are you going to do? Say, hey, we need to get back to the Obama years of 1% growth. We need to get back to, you know, the greatness of Obamacare and how well it's done, right? And concerning that 8-point lead that Biden holds over Trump, completely and utterly meaningless at this point. All right, hour number three on the way. Kyle Malin will be here. Dr. Throckmorton will join us. Plus the MERS report straight ahead. We'll be right back.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.